Thank you for that. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for being here. Let's all stand. We'll just stand for the reading of the scripture. And we appreciate you being with us tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Just we're going to look at not one of David's finer hours. The Bible tells the story of some of them are heroes, but it also tells a story when they did not act like heroes, when they were human and sinned. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. And we need to take heed. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet that did not mean if he was not careful, he could not get himself into a bad situation. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of his king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. She returned unto her house. So there was immoral relationship. Verse 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Now Uriah's out to battle. Joab is the one David sent to battle when in reality it was the time when kings went to battle, but David sent Joab. So he says, "Send me Uriah the Hittite," and Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. That was David's excuse for bringing him back. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not down to his house. You see what David's doing here, I hope. You caught that. He goes, "Go home. Take some food. It's been a while since you saw your wife. Go home." He was hoping that Uriah would go home to his wife so that Uriah would think the child was his. But Uriah was honorable, and he just slept. He didn't want to go home. Verse 10, and when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house? Why didn't you go home?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and all Israel and Judah abide in tents," talking about being out to war, "and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." You know, whenever we try to do our own thing, it's almost like God just kind of sticks the knife in and turns just a little bit so we catch that. Here's David trying to do this, and this guy's honorable. This guy has some character, some responsibility. Verse 12, and David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. David's going to have plan two. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. David's really stooping down. And at evening, he went to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. Goes, hey, if I get the guy drunk, he'll go home. We'll still accomplish our plan. But Uriah shouldn't have drank with David, but I guess it is what it is. He said, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to go home. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in his letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. David thought, I'll get rid of him once and for all. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew the valiant men were. The men of the city went out and fought with Joab. There fell some of the people, the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Now, if we were to read on, we would see then David sends and brings Bathsheba so that he could take her to wife, and maybe they think the baby's his, although if you do the math with some of the months, it's not going to work out for him. Let's pray this evening. Father, I pray in our short time that we have tonight that you'd speak to our hearts from your word and that you would help us to take heed. We are in a time of the year where we are not careful. It is easy for us to get out of our schedule, to get out of the things we know we are to do, and it can cause us to get to somewhere we don't want to be. Bless us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, this story comes at the time of the peak of David's kingdom. When it talks about the time of the year that the kings went to battle, it would have been right after winter. Winter comes and the battle kind of slows down, and now it's time for them to go back out. However, for some reason, a reason the scripture does not tell us, David does not go back into battle. We are assuming, based on our text around here, that David may have been around 50 at this time. And may not have fought as much as he did, but should have at least been out to battle, helping to direct the battle. The story takes place. David has probably taken a nap, and he awakes, decides to walk around and look out the window. Now, in those days, it was very hilly country where he lived, and his house was probably, the more money, the more wealth you had, the higher up you were. So his house was probably up towards the top, and as he looks out the window, he can see down to the other houses. And he looks, and there is Satan probably helping out. There's a lady on the roof of her house taking a bath. He looks, and he sees her, and then he kind of goes farther than really he should. He inquires about her, has the people go look. When he comes back, he does find out a couple things that he should never inquire, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But he should have found out a couple things that should have stopped him in his track. Number one, the lady was married. Second of all, by the way, so was David. The lady, well, he was married multiple times, but the lady was married. Not only was he married, she was married to one of his mighty men who are out to battle for him. Not only that, if you look through the genealogies, she was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor. When Absalom took over and had the little coup and David had to flee, you remember Ahithophel, who's just a counselor, gave counsel, said, look, give me some men. I will go out and I will find David and I will kill him myself. Which doesn't make sense for a counselor, but you realize the bitterness he had because of what David did to his granddaughter Bathsheba. So she's now pregnant, and David tries this whole little story to try to cover up what he did and goes to great lengths to do it. And of course, God being working in that, he did not allow any of it to work out. By the way, if you look at it, David almost systematically was breaking the Ten Commandments one by one. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. Thou shalt not kill. David did four of them. He was working his way through it. Look at the last chapter of the verse. It says, the last chapter of the verse, if you'll look at it, the very last phrase of that chapter says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You go through this whole story, all the nonsense, all the drama, all that happened, all the warning signs that were ignored, and you get to the bottom, and then God kind of throws his two cents in. By the way, what you did not please me at all. And David is going to pay about it. Look at 2 Samuel. Look at chapter 12. We'll read a few verses. After all the scheming, God confronts David by the prophet Nathan. Not this one here, but the real prophet. Verse 1 to 7. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, he's talking to David. He says, now David, let me tell you a story. There were two men in the city. One was rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. He says, here's a rich man. He has all the cattle he could ever want. And here's this poor man. He has one, and it's not really just something they planned on eating. It was like a member of the family. Verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared not to take of his own flock of his herd. In other words, the man came and they were going to feed him. He said, the rich man is not going to take all these extra he has to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. He said, here's a rich man. He wouldn't even spare one of his own flock to feed the man. He goes down here and takes this man's only lamb. And David gets mad. Next verse, verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Wow, David steamed. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now that David's all in a stew and everything's all set up, Nathan's going to lay it out on him. Nathan said unto David, and this is all he had to say, thou art the man. I'm talking about you. That's all it took. And David's found out. By the way, he said the man had to pay fourfold. David did. There was four catastrophes in his family that come after that. But let's not look at all that. Let's move on to this. What is the genesis of the whole problem? What was the beginning? Where did this whole episode start? What were the factors that came into play that caused this issue? It came after really a bad first decision, not going to battle. If he had been where he was supposed to be, he wouldn't have done what he shouldn't have done. Okay? There is no story. Chapter 11 said, and it came to pass at the time when the kings went to battle, David went out with his men and defeated Ammon. That's not what it says. He sent Joab, and he lays back. So that's where the problem is. It was a timing issue. It was a responsibility issue. Because he didn't fulfill his responsibilities, because he wasn't where he should have been, temptations came, and the temptations eventually led him into sin. Now let me say this. Summer's a time like that. I don't understand how when summer comes, people change. Schedules are a little bit different. No school. Children are out of school. I get all that. Things are a little bit different. We take some vacation time. And by the way, you ought to take some vacation time with your family. We take vacation time. We don't leave God back in Long Beach. Okay? And by the way, the way some of you drive, you better take God with you. Just telling you, it's not good. Many put down their guard in the summer. By the way, say, why do you do all this stuff in the summer? Why do you have summer saturation? Because people need Jesus Christ in the summer too. Why do we have Four to Flourish? Because it's a good time to have a little 7-week push where maybe some new people and maybe some of us that have staggered a little bit say, hey, I'm going to try that faithfulness to church. I'm going to try coming to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night. I'm going to be involved in what's going on. That's why we do it. And I understand, look, when you get off a schedule, you're not yourself. I go on vacation every year with my family. And you know what? When we drive up to Washington, it's all I can do, Brother Beck, to keep my Christianity. You get in the car with the kids, it's like you've got, we drive, now we, on the way up now, we do something different. We drive about 6 hours a day and we stop at different places. That's okay. But man, when we're coming home and you're in a car for 20-something hours, you cannot be saved. There's just no way. I don't like my wife anymore. I don't like my kids. I barely like the Bible. It's like you're out of schedule, you know? And it's like I want to get back to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Brother Creel, I appreciate you sitting in the back row, but the outside, there's some space. But let's look at some of David's mistakes here in this story. And I think they're mistakes we can make really any time in our life, but we can also make them during the summer. By the way, realize this, actions have consequences. They all do. See, they may not show up right away. And sometimes because we do our little actions, they don't show up right away, we think that we got away with it. But you know, it's going to happen. Sometimes we hang around people, we find people who say they're Christians, but their life doesn't say they're Christians, and we kind of justify it by saying, well, these people do this, and they say they're Christians. Brother, it has nothing to do with what people... I have found something out. When someone says they're a Christian, they come in the door saying they're a Christian about something, watch out. And I'm trying not to be negative. Someone comes in, hey, why don't you use our business? I'm a Christian. I just automatically think, and I'm critical. Pray for me, Brother Ross. I think crook. If you have to use Christianity to get a job, I usually don't trust them. Okay, I'd rather see your Christianity in your job. But it's not about, oh, it seems like they're doing okay. Listen, wrong actions, which are what the Bible condemns, have consequences. David didn't get away with it. What are some of his mistakes? Well, let's look at a few of them quickly. Number one, he wasn't where he should have been. There you go. He wasn't where he should have been. He should have never been in Jerusalem in the first place. If he left the city with the warriors, even if he was just camping and directing the war, this whole thing doesn't happen. He should have been with them, not lounging around the house. By the way, he was the king. Even when he's lounging around the house, he should have had kingdom things to take care of. But he's not. He's just taking it easy. He's not doing what he should be. He should have been out on the battlefield. See, most of the time we get ourselves in trouble, it's because we don't take the preventive measures. If we would take the preventive measures, we wouldn't get ourselves in trouble in the first place. That's why Bible characters are there and they show us their problems. You know, that's why in church we do things. There are several things here we do in our church. This summer, I think you ought to be here. I think you ought to be a part of. I think it'll help keep you in line. It'll keep you stable. It'll keep you from whenever, as I mentioned, when we're out of schedule a little bit, things get a little cattywampus. Let's stay spiritually on target. Let's be a part of the For the Flourish this year. Okay? By the way, I'm excited about For the Flourish. Starts June 15th. I encourage you, if you don't regularly already come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, I challenge you, give us 7 weeks and let's try it. Give us 7 weeks. Look, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we're done by 8. I understand people coming from work and you have your kids and you got to get up for work in the morning. We do everything we can. We streamline our service so we're not overburdening you and your time. Be with us. Be here. You're here on Sunday night. By the way, some people come and you miss Sunday school. Man, you're missing out if you don't go to Sunday school. Go to us. Get to your Sunday school class. You say, look, if you've not been to a Sunday school class, I'm sure someone's been inviting you to go to their class. Man, show up. It's a smaller group, a little more informal. You can meet a few people. Come to Sunday school. We got a little book we're going to give you. We're calling it this year Route 7. Go down Route 727. 7 weeks, 27 services. You say, well, wait a minute. 7 times 4 is 28. Well, we go Sunday to Sunday, so we don't get that last Thursday, okay? 727. We want you to come to all the, we have a little booklet we're going to give you, encourage you. It has a Sunday school, a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. You can kind of write a thought down. What did I learn in church? What was the message about? We'll have devotion if you want to do that for 7 weeks. My Bible reading for the day. What did I learn from my Bible reading? What do I want to thank God about today? For to Flourish, we want you to be here. Be here for all the weeks. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. I've mentioned it over and over, and I'm just telling you, the one decision I made early in my Christian life when I didn't know anything about God, I didn't know anything about the Bible, I knew nothing about prayer, nothing. I went to church for a few weeks, and I said, I want to serve God. I want to do right. I didn't have anybody pushing me, didn't have anybody visit me. I said, the only thing I know to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to all the services. That's all I did. And you know what? From there, I learned all the other things I was supposed to do. From there, I started meeting friends in the church, people in the church that encouraged me and helped me in my Christian life. And I encourage you, practice for to flourish. Come to our family nights. Those start June 15th, and that's Sunday night all 7 weeks. Now, we typically have a lot of fellowship, and we have basketball, but fortunately for the building, in a couple weeks, we're ripping up the parking lot. Amen? So, no, don't sound so excited. We have to do it, all right? Look, you know the parking lot's going to have trees. Got to keep the city of Long Beach happy, you know? We got to plant some trees back there. We're going to have those nice little parking lots, and every four spots is going to have that little concrete cutout, and there'll be a tree out there. We'll have lights so that when someone's breaking into your car, they'll be able to see what they're stealing. We're excited about that. But family nights, we're going to do some special things. We're going to have a couple things we just put together, some special things right after church together. We're going to have a couple weeks where we do split sessions. We'll have the men, the ladies, the singles, the teenagers out, and we're going to have some special subjects we're going to go over. We're going to have a great time together, but I encourage you, come to family nights. We have Patch the Pirate each and every night. We're going to show a few video clips. Most of them are going to be humorous about family. There's one video clip I saw. I don't want to tell you the name of it. You'll go check it on YouTube. It's a little comedy thing. It's about a minute and a half, and it's probably the best thing on marriage I've ever seen. They're trying to be funny, but it's like, yep, that's why we all have problems. Okay? But we're going to do some special things on family nights. We have the adult sports leagues to keep you busy on Saturday, and we have a picnic and other things, and we kind of end the summer with our anniversary Sunday. But I encourage you this summer, stay where you're supposed to be. You say, well, what about when I go on vacation? By the way, we're going to be on vacation a couple Sundays during the Four to Flourish. We always go to church. Always. Last summer, because of the way we did it, we actually were in 6 different churches. And by the way, all of them were a blessing. And by the way, all of them had really long services. I don't know what that was all about. I almost joked to kids. Every time we go in there, the guy preached over an hour. We went to one church. I'm not complaining. It was great. Yeah, I'm explaining. Man, Sunday school was like at 9 something, and that went for over an hour, and then the morning service went for over an hour, and it was. I was excited. I was hungry too, but I was excited. But you know what? Good church. Guy was doing something. We went to a church plant, and they had started several years ago. My sister-in-law told us about out in a little small town. Guy is doing a great job, and they were in a building that had no air conditioning. Man, it was hot, but they had just bought a new building, and he was going. It was exciting. We go to church, and by the way, when we go to church, we go to Sunday school. We don't. Oh, no one's gonna know. We just want. I go to Sunday school. And maybe it's just because I've been on staff so long, I have a tendency to stand outside and greet people. I'm not even from the church, and I'm saying hi to people. We went to one church in Moses Lake, and there was a brand new guy, and he was from California. And man, we were out there talking, and I'm like, first time visitor, I'm like, man, this guy's going to stay in our church. But it wasn't our church. I'm thinking, I was ready to take this guy out to eat, and he's with it. I'm like, I'm visiting. He should take me out to eat. But we like church. Be where you're supposed to be. David didn't do that. Number 2, he didn't do what he should have done. First of all, he wasn't where he should be, and then he didn't do what he should have done. It came to pass that evening time, David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. He shouldn't be doing that. Taking a nap, just hanging out. Brother, get to the battle. Do something related to the kingdom. But he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Most people take summer off from God. God, I'll see you in the fall. Look, it's in every church. Now, our church does pretty good with it. But you look at most churches, it's like summertime, it's like. Now, I understand. We go on vacation and so forth. But people kind of like, oh, you know, it's nice this week. We're going to go away every weekend. Really? Let's be faithful. People don't read their Bibles. You know, I was too busy on vacation to read my Bible. And now, I will say that, man, it seems like when I come back from vacation, I need a vacation. You know, it's like maybe it's that drive. I can't stand that drive. wish my in-laws lived in Fullerton or something. But it's like, you know, you get back, but you know what? I'm not too tired from God. I kind of like that part when we're up in my in-law's house, getting up there and getting a good cup of coffee and just hanging out there and reading the Bible and spending some time with God. Don't forget that. Stay with it. Summer saturation. People still need to be saved during the summer. Okay, that's what we're going to do on Tuesday night. Now, I understand, you know, over the course of the last few years, a lot of the stuff with the building has kind of knocked our time out, and we're still putting time in on the building, but on Tuesday nights, we're going out. Okay, we're going to go out. We want to go share the gospel. I encourage you to come. It's great. Take advantage of it. Summer is a great time to go. We have a youth conference. By the way, how many churches do we usually have? 15. Or more. That's fine. It'd be a shame to have 15 churches come here and some of our own teenagers don't come. Be here. Let's have a great time. By the way, adults, and a lot of you come, enjoy it. Come to the night services. I enjoy youth conference. See, you're not a youth anymore. Don't tell me that. I'm pretending I am. Okay? I'm going to grow a ponytail, the whole thing. Pierce my nose, my ear, all of it. Okay? But come. We'll have a great time. And that's why we do these things. Your Sunday school class is going to have activities. Hey, this is a blessing. We're going to have special work days on the job site. It's exciting, okay? By the way, you say, when? Thank you for asking. We have a group coming in, a pretty good group coming in next Saturday. And we're going to work the next week, and then that next Saturday we have a pretty big day, and then I think maybe Monday they're going to be here. We have several other groups coming. I just got an email from Brother Schumpert, and so we'll have some work days, and we're going to go forward with the building. And then, of course, our Saturdays, all the different Sunday school classes have a Saturday. He didn't do what should have been done. Also, look, we still have ministry responsibilities in the church, okay? Don't let those die. Bus routes, it looks like you had a pretty good day, okay? Look, we had a great fall. Don't say, it's summer. Brother, run that bus in the summer. Get out there in the summer like you were in the fall and still reach those kids. Reach those teenagers. Reach those adults. And look, I have adult Sunday school class. Listen, let's not let it die. I know people go out of town and I know things happen. But you know what? People still have problems in the summer. People still have tragedies that come in their life. People still need encouragement in the summer. Don't let your ministry die. Okay? Get in the nursery. Those kids need something. Diaper change or whatever it is. By the way, if you go away on vacation, this is free. I'll throw that out there for you. Make sure that your responsibilities are taken care of. And we do that, and I appreciate it. But let's work as diligently as ever to make sure we're loving people. Someone walks in that church, I don't care what day of the year it is. We ought to love them. Shake their hand. Several years ago, a guy came in here after my Sunday school class. He came in late. I was talking to people in my class down here, and he came in. I shook his hand. He's like, I said, hey, he goes, I don't want to shake your hand. He was joking. He goes, man, like 15 or 16 people already shook my hand. What's going on here? I'm like, we're just trying to be friendly. I'm glad. I'm glad he didn't say you're the first one. Now, I've been to churches, I know you have sometimes, where you sit there and it's like, do I have the plague? I mean, I took a shower. It was 2 weeks ago, but I took one. Went to a church one time, and my family can't hide. They're pretty big. Not personally, but corporately, okay? And we're all sitting there, and we took a whole pew. No one said hi to us. I'm like, okay. Okay, it's like, all right, you know, hey. Someone finally said hi. It was somebody that knew me, all right? And but listen, are bad people? Not bad people, because we all get busy. But we have to constantly make ourselves do it, don't we? It's hard to go talk to someone you don't know. I know that. But when someone comes in, let's make them feel welcome this summer. All right. I'm going to totally lose you on this one. Ready? And just bear with me because I have a couple points after this. So if you can get to this one, it'll all be good. Number three, he did see what he shouldn't have seen. Okay? Just hang tight. We'll be fine. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. Okay? And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You think? Satan didn't throw someone out there that looked like, hey, I don't want any part of that. Okay? There was a strong temptation there. Shouldn't have said that. That's horrible. Brother Ross, you're killing me. First of all, let me say this. She had to know there were other houses that could look down on her roof. So don't, it's not just a David thing. And David knew, come on. He should have saw that and thought, that's ridiculous. He didn't. He looked. And that was where the problem started. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us the whole story. Maybe there was a game going on there for a while. You know, he kind of looked, is she out there today? I don't know. But I know it wasn't good. And he was, and he looked at her, and he shouldn't have. Let me say this. A man can't be blamed if a beautiful woman, immodestly dressed, comes in his path of vision. Can't be blamed for that. But he can be blamed if he keeps looking or takes a second look. I'm going to give David the benefit of the doubt here. Hey, man, I'm going to the room. Oh, sister's not clothed. That's not what happened. It's like, yeah, she looks good. That's a step. Then there's another step. And there's another step. It seems like during the summer, the warmer the temperature gets, the less clothes ladies wear. The billboards. By the way, the worst billboards are those billboards along the 710. When I was in the, going to Monterey Park, working in Monterey Park, I'd teach my Sunday school class here, and I'd get in my car, and I didn't try to speed, but I did one time, I got a ticket. And I would go to Monterey Park for my Sunday school class there. Yeah, I had to purposely not look at those billboards. And by the way, they put them right where the turns are. And they never put like the, you know, pizza ones there. That's fine. I'm all in on pizza. Okay, they put the ladies there. Aren't you in patch? You should be. It's like, you have to be careful. By the way, the junk on the internet. If you have trouble looking at the wrong things on the internet, cut the cord. Okay? Quit doing it. You're ruining your life. And you're polluting your soul. You're ruining your marriage. Stop it. The movies you allow yourself to watch. Now, let me just be honest for a few minutes, and then I'll go back to being deceitful, okay? Just kidding. Now, ladies, I'm going to be real honest here for a few minutes. Bear with me. I'm going to be kind when I say this. Men are not like you. Okay, I know you get that. Help us out. Do you know how men are how our attention has gotten? Visually. It's how we are. Women don't. You put something on and ask your friend, how does this? Is this modest? That girl doesn't know. Okay? Can I just tell you? She don't, women, you're not motivated by the looks. Now, you want a guy that doesn't look like he got hit by a freight train. I get that. But you're not motivated by oh, look, if that was a guy, some lady's not going to sit there, oh, that's disgusting. You want flowers and all the other nonsense that costs money. I get it. But men are motivated visually. Okay? Job 31:1. I think we just read it recently in our Bible reading. Okay? I made a covenant with mine eyes. And I might misquote it. Therefore, I will not think upon a maid. Now listen to what he said, please. Get that. He said, I made a covenant or agreement with my eyes. Therefore, I will not think upon a maid. He didn't say, therefore, I won't look at a maid. He said, therefore, I will not think upon a maid. Because once you see and you keep looking, now you start thinking about it. That's how men are. And in the summer, it's just hard. Man, it's like, oh, yeah. Can I just tell you something? As a husband, I don't want my wife showing herself to everybody else. She's mine. Okay? Well, she doesn't like that. Well, she's mine. She said, I do. And I took her seriously. Why in the world would I want her to show herself to somebody else? We got to be very, very careful. Help her brother out. Listen, if you were to go to some place where they're a recovery place for people addicted to pornography, can I just tell you something? You're not going to find any women there. They don't get addicted to pornography. It's men. We're visually stimulated. Now, we need to be careful, men. Sisters, help the brother out. Remember that little video? Someone shows a video. It's a guy saying, sisters, help a brother out. We don't want to look. By the way, I'll be honest with you. Say, oh, well, you shouldn't want to look at a girl. If I see a girl and she's not dressed, say, do you want to look at her? No. Yeah, I want to look at her. What do you think I am? Weird? Some guy that says, that doesn't bother me. I don't want to look. He's got some serious issues. You know, I've been waiting 10 years for that. He'll explain that to you later. A guy that says he doesn't want to look is a liar. Okay? Oh, that doesn't bother me. Either that or you are so immoral, you need a lot more. I'm just telling you, that's who we are. We have to make ourselves not look. We want to be around girls. When I was in high school, my public high school, here's how we did it. I think it was like for 5 or 6, you would come in and say, okay, we're going to pick the PE classes for the next 5 or 6 weeks. They'd say, all right, how many of you want to be in basketball? And the guys would go to basketball. And what you did for the next 5 weeks, you came and played basketball. How many of you want to play softball? How many of you want to do this? They had another class. It was called badminton. They said, how many of you want to be in badminton? I said, I'm in. And they're like, what's wrong with you? But when I showed up to PE, and I was the only guy in the class, and it was all girls, I'm like, that's why I chose badminton. My mother didn't raise a fool. My mother-in-law had a couple, but not my mom. They think I'm stupid? Go out there and play basketball and get all sweaty with those guys. I'll play badminton with the girls. Get their phone numbers, amen? I shouldn't say this, but I will. Please pray for me. I don't think any lady would, that has an ounce of common sense, would walk around outside in her undergarments. That's inappropriate. So why is it if we color them and put polka dots on them, it's different? Because now it's a bikini. No. It's colored underwear. You understand that? Now, ladies, understand, and I know we have great ladies in our church, help us out. Okay, if I'm walking in a crowd and there are 8 ladies and one of them's dressed immodestly, you know what my eyes are automatically going to go to? Or not eyes, you know what I'm automatically going to, my mind is going to notice? The one who's dressed the least modestly. Okay, now by the way, guys, say amen, you get the girl. No, you quit looking. By the way, when you have a church, we're reaching everybody we can. New people come in and some ladies come in, they don't understand church. They're not bad, they just don't understand. That's not their fault, don't look. I went soul winning one time on my bus route. I knocked, for some reason I was by myself. And I knocked on the door, and this lady answered the door, and she's in a bikini. And by the way, she wanted to talk about church. I didn't. I mean, I'm like right at her eyes, like, well, why don't you just take a track? Maybe I'll come back later. Okay? Did you want to stay and look? Yes. I'm not weird. But I didn't allow myself. I'd go the other direction. So let's watch out, okay? All right, we're done with that. Are we okay here? But fellas, everywhere you go, you're going to have to fight it. I'm just being honest with you. It's our society. It's where we live. And we're just like, well, you know, that's just, okay. Number 4. Watch out for those bonfires. Okay. Number 4. He did ask about what he shouldn't have known. You see, because he allowed himself to look, what's the next progressive step? I'm going to start doing a little research. Should have never done the research. As soon as he walked on the roof and saw her, he should have said, no, I'm done with that. But then it's like, man, she was kind of hot. She's kind of cute. Got one of his servants, said, hey, can you go see who that is? And he goes down there and comes back, and it's like, yeah, it's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, there are so many points David should have just stopped. And he just blew through every one of them. And he goes, well, why don't you see if she'll come? We'll have tea together. He shouldn't have asked about it. Once we allow ourselves to move away from God, move away from what we're supposed to be doing, and we start checking out things we should have never looked at in the first place, we are so close to sin, it's not funny. We have to be careful, people. It's our responsibility. We live in a world that is so loose. It's not funny. I mean, some of you say, well, I work in an office or something, and they have these office lunches, and some married lady will go out with other guys for lunch. I would never, why would you do that? You're married. I would be beyond smoked if I found out, oh, you know, my wife, oh, yeah, there was a couple of clients for the daycare. I went out with these guys. That would not fly. Oh, it's a business lunch. I used to do it. When we were managing properties, I'd meet with bank people, and I'd meet with the bank people because we got all these poppies in foreclosure, and say, hey, let's go out to eat. I ain't going out to eat with you. I got things to do. I ain't doing it. Oh, but it's just a business law. It doesn't matter. Then you start, look, and you get to work, and you start talking to someone of the opposite sex, and it's friendly, and then you start asking questions you shouldn't be asking. Then you start getting emotionally drawn in. Innocent email. Innocent text. Listen, if it's not your wife, don't talk to her. If you talk to her, it's in a crowd and there's no personal things going on. We're just too loose in our society. We get the text and, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then there's some stupid, goofy question that starts to get a little personal. If someone ever sends you a text like this, here's your answer. Drop dead. You say, oh, they'll think you're rude. I'd rather have them think I'm rude and I love my wife than answer some stupid text. By the way, I don't have a problem with people texting me all the time. My answers are like two or three words. Fine. Great. I'll be there. Okay? I'm not doing that. You know? If you get I'll send some birthday emails if I know it's your birthday. Hey, hope you have a great day. Enjoy your happy birthday. God bless. That's it. We're not going to have a conversation here. Okay? That's just inappropriate. But when we start getting into that realm, then we start talking about things we shouldn't talk about. We're moving into a dangerous area here, people. The point is, let's be careful. Look at James chapter 1, verse 14. I'll cut out some things because the singing went a little bit long tonight. I don't want to be long. Let me read this and we'll let you go. James chapter 1, verse 14. This is the steps right here. Here it is. This whole thing with David and Bathsheba, here it is. James chapter 1, verse 14. And we'll read through 16. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, what's the word? Lust means desire. Something you want. Something the flesh likes. Okay, are you with me? You can't control things that come your way, but you can control your responses and how much time you give to it. So that, I gotta back up, okay? He's drawn away of his own, it's something you want to do, and what happens is, I'm not gonna do anything wrong, but I kinda like that feeling of you know, the word playing with it's a little bit strong, you know what I'm saying? That little wrong feeling it gives you, and so you linger there for a minute, drawn away of his own lust, and then you're enticed. Now it's like, Then, when lust or desire hath conceived, in other words, you go through the whole process and it gives birth to something. What is it give birth to? Sin. Lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Okay? The words that are used in James chapter 14, drawn away and enticed, one of the words is used of like baiting a hook. The other used is baiting a trap. When you bait a hook or you bait a trap, what you're trying to do is to play on what the fish likes to draw them into the bait so they don't see the hook. And then they bite on the hook and you reel them in and then they end up in the frying pan. Okay, don't say amen. I hate fish. I love to fish, and I don't throw them back. That's garbage. Okay, why would you catch a fish and throw them back? That's you. It's like, brother, I'm not going to eat them, but I want someone else to eat them. That's my catch. We went, 2 weeks ago? You know, and obviously the fish there, they liked this the power bait. It was a yellow power bait that smelled like garlic. And we were catching trout. Obviously, it was garlic. It must have been Italian trout. They really like that stuff. Okay, we'll put sausage on there. Now, look, what's the power bait? The bright yellow, we wanted them to see the colorful bait. We wanted them, I don't know how they smell underwater, but the garlic, oh, man, it's like a pizza. And woo, boom, And you know what's covered? You know what's in that bait? A hook. And then we put them on the stringer. Someone's eating them. That's how we need to see sin. See, if the fish saw the power bait and said, frying pan, they would not go after it. They don't see that. Oh, it looks good. That's how we need to see sin. Don't see, you say, sin is not pleasurable. Yeah, it is. I'm trying to be kind here. I'm trying to be honest, though. You know, maybe I shouldn't say it. But David and Bathsheba probably had a good time together for a night. And then everything blew up. They didn't see the frying pan. They saw the bait. I'm just telling you, they didn't see the frying pan. They saw the bait. Death. Be very, very careful. What happens is, summertime, we let our guard down. Just let our guard down. We get sloppy. Let's not do that. Let's be Christians during the summer. Let's have a great year. Let's have a great summer in church. So I'm going to go on vacation. You know what? You go on vacation with your family, have a great time, go to church. Read your Bible and have a great time. Go kill some fish. Okay? Go whatever it is you're going to do. But don't leave God at home. Let's have a great summer. And let's be very, very careful. Satan, listen, David is a far better man than any of us in this room will probably ever be. And he fell. You know what that means? We better be careful. And we better just do the things we're supposed to do and be where we're supposed to be. And let's stay close to our Lord. Let's pray. Let's all stand together tonight, please. Thank you for listening attentively.